Good morning again.
Good morning.
Yes, a good morning. Thanks for coming on this Easter Sunday. Thanks for the opportunity to challenge you to think. Also, you'll want to keep in your prayers those that are in Atlanta, Georgia, this weekend. I want us to emphasize this morning, how do you answer questions? I find it extremely interesting. How did Christ answer questions? How did Christ react to the situation of the hour? I found that sometimes Jesus answered a question by asking a question. So, if you'd like to turn, Jody, thanks for the reading. Let's go back to Mark chapter 11. And we'll just read the last paragraph, verses 27 through 33. And notice what Jesus does on this occasion. Then they came again to Jerusalem. That'll be Jesus and those with him. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him, and they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" You'll want to read all of Mark 11. For example, one of the thoughts you'll read about Jesus cleansed the temple. Who gave you authority to do this in the temple? You've emphasized in your teaching this is to be a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. But Jesus answered and said to them, "I will also ask you one question. Then answer me. And I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John," that would be John the Baptist, "was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." Then they reasoned among themselves. Now, think who's reasoning. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, they feared the people. For all counted John to have been a prophet indeed." So they answered and said to Jesus, "We do not know." They knew, but they didn't want to say. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." So, look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How did Jesus respond to questions? How did he respond to the event of the hour? What did he really say? So, now remember our thesis is, how do you answer questions? They had a question for Jesus, but he answered with a question, didn't he? Let me repeat that. Sometimes you will find that Jesus answered a question by asking a question. So, I want to share with you, I've been asked recently three questions. How should I have answered? How would you answer these questions? Question number one, do you have a guardian angel? Question two, do you believe in God? Question three, how would you describe heaven? And incidentally, let me mention, all these questions were asked by a woman. And our thought is, think about these questions. I'll share with you later how I would answer them, if I don't forget. So, I'll try to remember to share with you who asked the question. And I wonder if sometimes it wouldn't be best to be like Jesus. You're asked a question, you don't have to answer it, do you? Maybe ask another question or a series of questions. So we'll have some questions for the questions. Question number one, my wife's sister asks, do you have a guardian angel? Now, I have to confess, I probably put emphasis more on the general references to angels, but what was she asking? Do I, Harry Darrell, have a guardian angel? Her question is, do you have a guardian angel? So, what I want to do this morning, I'm going to share first a passage of Scripture with you. And then we'll go to the book of Hebrews for another question. Question one, do you have a guardian angel? Now, let's go to the book of Matthew. And chapter 18, I'm still in the Old Testament. That's not going to happen. Help, is it? Now remember, you want to read the chapters in which these verses are found. So here in Matthew 18, we'll have what Jesus said, verses 10 through 14. I'm back in Matthew 10. Let's go to chapter 18 and verses 10 through 14. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you, remember this is Jesus, that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, remember, 100 sheep, 99 have not gone astray, they're not lost. The shepherd is looking for the one that went astray. Surely I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, that's the passage that people refer to. Do you have a guardian angel? Yes. No, I don't have a guardian angel. And her answer was no, with some reservations. So, now let's go to the book of Hebrews. And what does the Bible teach about angels? I thought Jody did an excellent job as we went to the book of Hebrews. Does the book say Christ is better than angels? What do you mean by the word better? You have the best. Is he greater? Is he higher? And I like the word superior. And superior to angels? Now let's go to the book of Hebrews. What does chapter 1, verse 14 teach? What does it declare, affirm, claim? Now, my understanding after the introduction, chapter 1 is about angels. First part of verse 4 says, having become so much better than the angels. Now, how will the chapter close? Anything you bring up, is Christ greater, higher, superior? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Is that verse simply saying the angels can be used by God to serve those that are seeking God and are really concerned about salvation? So, question 2, do you believe in God? That's a question, isn't it? We live in the Walnut Grove Apartments in Pittsburgh, North. One day I went down to check our mail. One of the younger women that lives in the same complex, she said, she saw me, do you believe in God? Well, first of all, I was so stunned. I thought the answer was obvious. Yes, I believe in God, absolutely. Now, I confess, I missed a golden opportunity. I should have said, what about you? Do you believe in God? I don't know what she would have said. If she'd said yes, my reaction should have been, well, you tell me briefly why you say yes, and then I'll tell you briefly why I say yes. If she'd said no, could my reaction have been? Should it have been? Tell me why you say no, and then I'll tell you why I say yes. If you want to think about it, fine. You want to give me some reading material, fine. I'll listen to you. And then I hope you'll listen to me. Again, I'll say, I missed a golden opportunity. So, someone asks you, do you believe in God? I hope you'll say yes. But then turn around, do you? So, you might be surprised what passage I finally thought of. Have you ever really thought about why John wrote the gospel about Jesus? He tells us in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And incidentally, I believe that's the answer why Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote. But let's go to the gospel of John and chapter 20. If you're not careful, we overlook this. We're thinking about doubting Thomas. Incidentally, the text says some of the others doubted too. But okay, John chapter 20, verse 30. And truly Jesus did many other signs, I would say miracles, in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now, first of all, I believe that Jesus performed many signs and miracles that are not recorded. But I've come up, men have, and that there were 35 signs or miracles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm sure Brian has already emphasized in an excellent way, John only selected 7 of the 35 to emphasize the life of Christ. Check that out. Okay, now let me read verse 31. Why did John select those 7 signs? But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the anointed one of God. Jesus is the one that heaven sent. And he also says, the Son of God. And that believing, you may have life in his name. I like life better than death. So, why did John write the book? Now, let's go to the book of Hebrews again. And chapter 11, sometimes called the faith chapter. Verse 4, there's Abel. Verse 5, there's Enoch. Verse 7, there's Noah. Now stop there. What does Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 really teach, declare, affirm, claim? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, really, could you ask, what do you think about God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit? I like Holy Ghost a little better. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seeking. Is verse 6 maybe the key to all of the men and women and events from the Old Testament? And by faith they did it. Is the writer saying, first of all, you need to believe in God. And then secondly, that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So, remember the question. Do you believe in God? Yes or no? A lot of people could still ask that today, couldn't they? Because my observation is I'm in the minority if I say yes. Oh, I'm sure a lot would say, oh yes, I believe in God and I expect to go to heaven. Really? So think about that. We might be stunned. How many would say, no, I don't believe in God? I don't believe in hell either. So, question 3. One of the sisters here at Sanford asked it. How would you describe heaven? That's a good question, isn't it? I'll confess, I could come up with more words about hell at first than I could about heaven. So, what does the Bible really teach about heaven and hell? So, I thought a lot about it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Now remember, I've done it, asking you to read all the chapters in which these verses are found. Let's just look at verse 9. But as it is written, Paul is quoting from Isaiah, the messianic prophet, chapter 64 and verse 4. Eye has not seen. Oh, we see a lot, don't we? Nor ear heard. We also hear a lot, don't we? Nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Fire. Darkness, devil and his angels. I'm going to assume none of us here this morning want to go to hell, do we? Wouldn't it be just hell enough? Oh, I missed it. I'm banished from the presence of God. Wouldn't that be hell enough? I didn't have to be there. But I chose. Now, I think in the longer version, I went to the book of Revelation. But let's just stay in the book of Hebrews. Now, chapter 1, you're going to think about Christ and the angels. Chapter 11, you're going to think about Christ and the faithful. Now, let's turn to the last chapter, which is number 13. And I want us to look at verses 20 and 21. Now, there will be reference to the angels in the chapter earlier. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, a lot of people thinking about the resurrection today, aren't they? That great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Make you complete. Some versions will have perfect. In every good work to do His will. Working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, do you know what I thought about heaven? I'd probably use one of our English words. Wow! Fantastic. Exceeds my fondest dream or imagination. And then I thought of two other words. Beautiful. Rest. Oh, I know we live in a world that's dark with sin. But this is a beautiful world, isn't it? If God could make a beautiful world, what can He do with heaven? So, heaven's going to be really something. Beautiful, wonderful, whatever word you want to use. And then I thought of the word rest. We sometimes, you know, laugh and joke about it. Person is so tired, they go to bed with their clothes on. That is the clothes they wore during the day. Don't even take time to change to their night clothes. You ever been that tired? Ever been that weary? And I like the word rest. Rest. Let me close the lesson with some more questions. Do I have a guardian angel? Well, I would still have to say I don't know for sure, but based on what Jesus said, it's recorded in Matthew, and my understanding of other passages, God could provide a guardian angel. So, do I believe in God? Oh, yes. Do I want to go to heaven? Oh, yes. Should I just be able to describe heaven more than hell? Yes. I thought about it. Gehenna or hell, that's rather negative, isn't it? Heaven, though, is more positive. I'm sure we'd all agree we want to emphasize the positive more than the negative. Now, let me ask some questions. Are you a Christian? Do you hope to go to heaven? What do you need to do right now? I can't think of a better time than what the world sometimes calls Easter Sunday, 2025, April 20th, 2025. Now, are you in Christ? Paul really likes to talk about that. Are you in Christ? Are you going to die in Christ? You're looking forward to being with Christ forever in heaven? Does this book clearly outline how you become a Christian? How you're in Christ? Now, I still remember the Wednesday night lesson that Brother Thomas gave. It's on hope. Do you remember? He emphasized the words desire and expectation. Oh, yes, I hope to go to heaven. Do I desire to go to heaven? Do I expect to go to heaven? based on what God, Christ, and the Spirit have done? Grace of God? Sacrifice of Christ? Teaching from the Spirit in this book? That's the only way I'll make heaven, is by the grace of God. The sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary. What I can read in this Spirit-given word. So I'm not going to be able to stand and say, "Oh Lord, you have to let me in. I've earned it. I deserve it. I've merited it. Oh, I live so good. I gave so much money." Is that going to work? So, now, thought a lot about, what do you need to do this morning? Now, I've emphasized all my life, people need to obey the gospel, or they need to come back home, let us come back to God. And I've also emphasized, you need to be part of a group of God's people. Don't hear it much anymore. You want to place your membership. So, is that what you needed to do this morning? I have lessons on we need to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, live right. Is that the message of heaven? Hear Christ. Believe in Christ. Oh, yes, you're going to repent. You're going to change your mind about sin in Christ. You're going to confess Christ. Be baptized into Christ. Is that the end or the beginning? I would say it's the beginning. The rest of your life, you're going to live for Christ. You're going to do what's right. But now, the real question is, what do you want to do this morning? And we have a song of encouragement. Don't put it off. That can be dangerous. Oh yes, we have plans for the rest of the week. But I cannot 100% guarantee we're going to do what we want to do tomorrow, right? So, do it now. If you need to obey the gospel, come back home, be more active in this congregation. So, Dwayne, you're getting a lot of work today. Thank you. We're going to have a song, invitation song. Would you like to come? Well, we ask you to stand. Our brother leads.